For today is Tzariches, and we're going to begin with Omer of Shmuel, the two dots on line 3. Omer of Shmuel bar Yehuda, Omer of Abba, Omer of Huna, Omer Rav, Hamavir Arba Amos, Bishus Arabim, Mekora, Potur, Lefisha Eno, Dome, Lidigle, Midbar. We know, and there's halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that if you carry something for Amos in a Rishus HaRabim, Yechayev. However, and this is all in the name of Rav, if it's roofed, Makura means there's a kirui on top of it, then you're potter. In a sense, once there's a roof on top, we view the entire Rishus HaRabim as if it was kind of one private area, simply because of the roof. And Rav explains this based on the fact that all of Melechas Hotzah, like all the Melechas, are derived from the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, the Rishus HaRabim, and that is the Machna Leviyah, was open. It was not roofed. Okay? There was no roof on the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, we are bound by the Mishkan, and we can't go beyond the Mishkan. So that the Malacha of Hotzah, in this case Rishus HaRabim, is defined by the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, the Rishus HaRabim, was open to the air, it was not roofed. Eini, is this really so? Did Rav make this statement? I'm going to quote another statement of Rav, and I'm going to prove to you that a Rishus HaRabim could have a roof on top of it, and it still maintains its status as Rishus HaRabim. And not only that, in the Mishkan itself, the Rishus HaRabim had a roof on it. How do I know this? Vagolos dimakoros havyon. So they were, for the B'nai Merari, right, they were in charge of carrying the beams, the crushim, on the agolos. There were four agolos. There were two sets of wagons. There was one forward and one behind, and then there was one to the left, and the one behind that one. And the agolos, says Rav, in the name of Rav Chia, Tachteyem uvbeineyem vitzideyem Rishus HaRabim. That all the sides and the area underneath, we'll go through all these three categories in a second, all have the status of Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara is going to prove that at least in the case of Tachteyem, we're talking about something that's roofed. And yet, Rav calls it Rishus HaRabim. So let's go through these three categories. There's Tachteyem, Beineyem, Vitzideyem. So you have an area that's underneath the Agolos, which means the ground and the air all the way up to the bottom of the Agolos. That ground space is Machna Leviya, and that's a Rishus HaRabim. Then we have Beineyem. Beineyem means the area between one Agol on the right and the one on the left. That clearly is Rishus HaRabim. And then we have Tzideyem. Now, Tzideyem is a little bit more challenging. The Agolos were 5 Amos wide. But that number 5 Amos really has to be divided up into 3 parts. Because the Agolos themselves were only 2.5 Amos wide. However, there were Tzideyem. What is Tzideyem? Tzideyem is the Agolos, each one of the Agolos had 4 wheels. and each wheel had a width of 1.25 amos. So if you calculate the entire width of the agolos from side to side, from end to end, including the wheels, then you get a 1.25 on this side for this wheel, another 1.25 for this side for the other wheel, totaling 2.5 amos. And then the width of the agolos themselves without the wheels was 2.5 amos. So that's how we have a total width of 5 amos. And now tachteim means the 2.5 amos of the wagon itself, like the floor of the wagon, had a width of 2.5 amos, and the airspace underneath it is called tachteim. Then we have something called tzideim. Tzideim means the two sides of the agalot, which means the wagons on both sides, correct? The wagons on both sides. And the area of the wagons, the wheels. Did I say wagons? I meant to say wheels. They have the area underneath the wheels, or between the two wheels. Those are called the tzadim. And we have the area between one agala and the next one, and that's called beinehem. And then you have the area underneath the agalot, which is called tachteihem. All that is a rishus harabim. Now, if you're talking about the area between one agala and the other, that certainly is underneath the skies. If you're talking about the area between one wheel and the one of in front, the back wheel and the front wheel, that's underneath the sky. But if you're talking about tachteihem, that's the area underneath the wagon, the floor of the wagon, that is a roofed area. And yet Rav quotes Rav Chiya saying that that is Rishus HaRabim. So how do we reconcile the fact that Rav says that a Rishus HaRabim Makora is not a Rishus HaRabim with this statement? So the Gemara answers, Kika Amar Rav Bidarasa. Rav is talking about a gap. What do I mean by a gap? We know that the agalot were designed for the purpose of carrying the krushim. So they would line up the krushim, one on top of the other, and they made piles. Each of the krushim, by the way, was 10 amos long. And then we're going to talk about the width of the krushim. The width of the krushim was 1.5 amma. Now, if you begin to stack up the krushim, one on top of the other, and you do it to the width of the agola, now, the width of the agola, we said, was 5 amos. So what you're going to have is three rows, three stacks. Each stack will have the width of the keresh, which is 1.5 amma. If you multiply 1.5 times 3, you end up with 4.5. So you now have a gap. Now, where is that gap? That gap, I don't know if you could see my hands. Let's say, here's your agola, the width of the agola. So there's one pile of krushim here, closer to me. And then you'll have a gap. Then you'll have the middle stack of krushim, and then there'll be another gap until you get to the end of the agala, which has the third pile. So there's a half an amma of gap, because again, the total width of the agala, of the krushim, is 4.5, and the width of the agala is 5. So you're left with a half of an amma, and now you're going to split it, as we said before, into two gaps. That means that each gap is 1/4 of an amma. And that, says the Gemara, is not roofed. And that's what Rav meant by tachteihem. Anything below those gaps is rishus harabim, because it's not roofed. The Gemara says that can't work out. Why? Michdi. Orcha diagola kamahavi. What's the width of the wagon? Chamesh amin is 5 amos. Now, what's the width of each of the krashim? Posya, the width. De keresh kamahavi. Amsa upalga. So the width of the keresh is 1.5 amma. Now keep in mind, the krashim were not square. So it wasn't 1.5 this way and 1.5 that way. They were rectangular. So it was 1.5 to the top part, and then on the side, it was another 1 amma. But now we're stacking them up on the regular side, which is the wider side, that's 1.5. Kama mosiv. How many different rows can you have if each row is going to be a width of 1.5 and the whole width of the agol is 5 amos? Tlasa. You can have 3 rows. And if you multiply 3 rows, each row has a width of 1.5, you end up with 4.5. Is partially, how much are you left over of airspace? Palga diamsa. Only 1/2 of an amma. And kishodi le mar beni ubeni. Now let's divide up that half an amma into half, because we have 3 stacks, so there'll be 2 gaps. So that total area of half an amma will be divided into half. Then what do you have? You've got 1/4 of an amma in each of these gaps. Now let's say that an amma is 6 tfachim. One thing I guarantee you, that 1/4 of an amma is less than 3 tvachim. In fact, 1/4 of an amma, I don't have the time now to do the mathematics, you'll do that for me, but 1/4 of an amma is going to be less than 2 tvachim. And now we have a principle, kilava dummy. Kilava dummy means that when you have 2 objects that are almost contiguous to another with a separation of less than 3 tfachim, we consider them as closed, so that you cannot consider the airspace in the gaps, which are each 1/4 of an amma, as a gap. It's not a gap, it's not an airspace, because we're going to apply love. We're going to imagine that the entire top of the krashim that are sitting on the agalot is all closed, all these gaps are closed. So how can you possibly reconcile Rav and say that that Tachteyem is Rishus HaRabim? Again, we have another problem here, which we'll get to later on. The whole concept of Tachteyem means it's underneath the wagon, where the bottom of the wagon itself is a roof. But let's leave that problem. It's going to come up around the bend. Let's assume that there is no roof on the bottom of the agala, but there's a roof on the top of the agala, because we have this 4.5 filler of the krashim, and the 2 gaps are lavud. So the Gemara answer is,
if the concern, as I understand it, is how can you say that tachteyam is a rabbin if it's a korah, why does he bother to mention beneyam and tzideyam?
What's the chiddush of Beinayim Utsideim? It's not relevant to this, but in and of itself. let me think about that. I don't want to shoot from the hip. So the Gemara answers, Misavis Kroshim Apotayu Havi Manachle. Right, every keresh was made on the wide side of 1.5 amma, and you think that they stacked up the boards on the wide side, which would be 1.5 amma. No. Achudan manachle. They tipped over the keresh onto its thin side. The thin side is 1 amma. So now you could have 4 stacks, right? Because if the width now is 1 amma, so if you have a 5 amma width in the wagons, you can now put in 4 stacks. Now, if you put 4 stacks in, then you filled up the space of 4 amma, you're left with 1 amma, and that solves that problem of love. The Gemara says, no. You're still in trouble. Why? Sof, at the end of the day, sumcha de keresh kamahavi, what is the thickness of the side of the keresh. It's amah, so it's one amah. Kama havi mosiv, right? We want to get as many krushim into the agola at one time as possible. Arba, so you can have four stacks. Because again, the assumption is that if you had five stacks, it wouldn't be able to fit in. You know, some of them would jut out and some of them would fall. So let's be on the safe side, we'll have four stacks. Pashale amsa. So now that you have four stacks of an amma each, you're left with one amma of airspace. But kishade lemar beni ubene kilovadomi. It will still be loved. Because now that one amma is going to be divided up by three. Right, between, if you have four stacks, then you'll have three gaps, and you have a total airspace of one amma, that superfluous amma, you divide that into three, so you've got six tfachim, you end up with two tfachim in each gap, two, two, and two, to total an amma. Well, two tfachim is lovely, so we still have a problem of a closed area on top. So the Gemara says, okay, let me give a little introduction to the next piece of Gemara. There's a major machlokes as to what the shape of the krushim was. One mandiyoma says it was a rectangle from top to bottom. A rectangle, which is got a width of 1.5 amma plus one amma on the short side. But there's another mandiyoma, that's Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that the krushim were not a rectangle, but rather they had an incline. It's like, it reminds me, I don't know if any of you can remember this, when I was a kid, they used to have doorstopples, right? And they look like this, you know. It's like a long triangle, if you know what I mean. And Rabbi Yehuda held that at the base of each keresh, you had a width of 1.5 amma, but you had an incline, and when you got to the top, it was a spitz that was the size of one etzba. Basically a point. So for my purposes in this shiur, I'm going to call it like a triangular shape. I hope you understand what I mean by that. So now, the Gemara is going to say that if the krushim had this triangular shape, then you've now opened up the gaps between each one of the rows. Do you follow? Because although it's true that you've got a very small gap of two tfachim on the base, but when we lay out the whole keresh towards the top, it's one etzba, so you're going to have this very large gap. So when you get to the point that gap hits three tfachim, at that point, you don't have any makora, right? There's no roof because we cannot apply the principle of loving. So Gemara says, "Ha nicha lemandiyama krushim ilamata of yon ama." Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell us that even though on the base the thickness was one of the krushim was one ama, but milamala kolim means they sort of diminish velholchim. Ad ke'etzpa, until at the spitz, they're only the size of one finger. Is shapir. Now I can understand that you've expanded the gaps between the rows, and is no longer level. El lamanti omar, but according to the other shita that we'll learn in a minute, who holds kishem shalamatan ovyon ama kach milamalan ovyon ama, the krushim were a perfect rectangle, if you follow what I mean, and the same thickness on the side of one amma took you all the way up to the top of the keresh, is then Ma'ikal Meimar, we're still back at square one, and we still don't understand why we shouldn't be applying the halach of lavud. Amar Rav Kahana bi'at be'e. What's bi'at be'e? Okay, now I have a little bit of a picture here of bi'at be'e, but let me try to explain what I think is going on over here. And then we'll see what the word itself means. The goal is on the one hand to have as many rows as possible of krushim on the wagons. But on the other hand, we want those rows to be very secure. So how do we guarantee that? If you only had four rows, one after the other, of an amma each, and they're sitting on their side, it could get a little bit shaky. So to avoid that, we're going to take two of the rows and we're going to smack them up one against the other. So in effect, what you're going to have now is, if you're looking at the agalot, as the krushim are sitting on the width of the agalot, you're going to have two rows of an amma width each on the left, and on the other extreme of the wagon, there are two rows of an amma each width, totaling four amos. But now, since the wagons are five amos wide, you can have an absolute gap in the middle between these two and two rows. I mean, there are four rows, but they're not one after the other, so that now you have a gap of one full amma. And as we said before, Lovet is only up to three tvachim, 2.9, and now we have six tvachim of a gap. And that's what Rav had in mind when he said tachteim is a rishus harav. Now, what does the word bi'at be'e mean? So for this, we'd really have to learn a Gemara in Menachos. But what I would suggest is the following. It seems that back in the day, I don't want to spend too much time on this because we got a heck of a job here to finish this daf for today. So I'll just say it, just to Yotzei Zayin, what the etymology, what the meaning of the word Atbe'e is. What they used to do is they used to write their manuscripts and then tie them together, like we have books today, right? So we have a whole manufacturing. But in those days, what they did was they had a kind of a stick of some sort, a piece of wood. They would drill holes, and they had two holes in the top and two holes in the bottom, and they would fit the manuscript, all the pages of this book, into those holes. And that holder for paper is called atbe'e. That's the word for it. So the Gemara is using that to just describe the tzura in which they carried the krushim on the agalot. There were two here and two here, two rows and two rows. Each row had an amma, and that left for an amma's worth of gap in the middle. So the Gemara is not happy with this either. The Gemara says, At be'e hechi manach lehu, agav di agola. Okay, fine. You've now convinced me that there's a gap of an amma in the middle of these, right, two and two stacks. But Rav said that tachteim, underneath the wagon, is a rishus harav. Agola gufa makora havi. This was the question I hinted at before. There's a flaw to the agola, right? The krushim are sitting on a floor. So if you're going to, you know, dig, if you're going to crawl underneath the, you know, the wagon, yeah, there might be a gap above the floor of the wagon of one amma, but underneath the wagon, that's called takteim, you're underneath the roof, my friend. So now we're going to turn to Daf Tzariches Amid Beis. Omar Shmuel, be a sedos. Shmuel says, I got news for you. There was no floor to the agolos. The way that the agolos were able to carry the krushim is because from one side of the agola to the other, they would put these pegs, you know, like slats, and there was one slat here, another slat in the middle, a third slat up front, but basically between the slats there was no floor to the agolos. It was open space. So when Rav had in mind that tachteim is rishus harabim, he meant that if you take that one amma of gap above and you go down, you will not hit a floor. There is no floor below that amma. You will go all the way down to the karka, and that's because what's holding up the krushim are various pegs, you say those, and there's a great deal of airspace in between them. Okay, now we're going to get into this machlokas about what was the shape of the krushim. And we had two possibilities. We had the rectangle, which was 1.5 by 1 amma, and we had a possibility in Rabbi Yehuda that the krushim were all angled, right? In other words, you went from a full amma v'chetzi, and then it got narrow until it tapered off like a triangle at its spitz, which was one etzba. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to start with Rabbi Yehuda. Krushim milamatan ovyan amma. On the base, they were 1 amma thick. He's talking about the side, right, of the krushim. Umilamala, but as you climb up to the top of the keresh, kolim v'holchim ad ke'etzpa. Where does Rabbi Yehuda know this from? Shenemar, the pasuk tells us in the parshiyos of the Mishkan at the end of Shmos, it says Yachtov Yiyu Tamim al Rosho, and he understands that Tamim means they diminish as they go towards the top. How does he know that the word Tamim means Taich is that they diminish? Ulahalanu Omer, because we have a pasuk later on that says Tamu Nichrisu. Okay, this is at pasuk in Tanakh, in Nach, and Yoshua is describing the splitting of the Yarden, the great miracle that took place. And the Yarden, when it split, the waters kind of separated until there was no more water left. And that's called Tamu. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? That's Rabbi Nechemya. And Rabbi Nechemya holds, Kishem Shemilamatan Ovyan Amo, Kach Milamalon Ovyan Amo. In other words, the thickness of the keresh as part of a rectangle is uniform from the base all the way to its top. It's always going to be 1 amma. But now the question is, how does he know such a thing? And the answer is, shenemar, because the first word in the pasuk that we saw before of Yu Tamin is Yachtov. And the word Yachtov is telling me that there's a uniform width that takes you from the base of the keresh all the way to its top. So the Gemara asks for Ksiv Tamim, but in the very same pasuk it says Yu Tamim al Rosho, from whence Rabbi Yehuda derived his conclusion that it diminishes. Hahu, that pasuk of Tamim is teaching me Delesu Shlemim Velo Lesu Dininsra. There are two ways of getting a beam. You can find a beam which is a very long, wide, a log or so that grows in the natural world. You know, you have major trees. So you cut down a tree and you whittle it down so that you have 1 amma by 1.5 amma in a rectangle. Or what you could do is take a collection of smaller pieces of wood and attach them one to the other until you finally get the size, the length, and the width that you need. So the Torah goes out of its way to use the word tamim to tell you tmim, right? Tamim, not milashon kala, that it gets diminished, but rather tamim means it's perfect, meaning it's in the natural universe. So this is a very large tree that you cut down, a big log, and you can just smoothen it out, and not nisarim, to the exclusion of putting together smaller pieces. That would not be tamim. V'idach nami, what about Rabbi Yehuda haksiv yachtov? And we understood from yachtov that the width was uniform straight throughout. Hahu, what does he do with that pasuk? Yachtov, delolish chufinu me'adadi. In other words, they shouldn't be out of alignment, right? Very often when you stack up beams, you know, you have one beam that goes a little bit further, it protrudes outwards, another beam is inwards. You want to get a face, a facade, that's perfectly smooth, that's uniform. And in order to do that, you have to align all the beams perfectly. And that's what the word Yachdov is coming to teach me, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara asks the following kasha. Once again, I think we need a little bit of an introduction, right? When the Torah describes the Mishkan, it describes the Amos of the western wall of the Mishkan. The western wall of the Mishkan has Krushim, and then jutting out, or shall I say, meeting the Krushim on the southern side and on the northern side, they're going to connect with this western wall. We'll call it the Kosel Maravi. And now, what's going to happen is that we need the following. These walls on the Tzafon and the Durham, on the northern and western side, were each 30 amos. So you had to get enough krushim to line it up to equal to 30 amos. Okay. And this is all explicit in the psukim. If we had time, we would go through the parasha. Now, the maravi, what we call the kosel maravi, has to consist of six krushim. And then, in order to create a perfect rectangle with the northern flank and the southern flank meeting up with the western flank, you would need what I call corner krushim. The corner krushim would guarantee that you have a perfect rectangle without any jutting out or any spaces. So at each corner they would add two krushim, respectively, one here on the southern flank as it meets up with the west, and one on the northern flank as it leads up to the west. So the Gemara says the following: Bishleim lemad yom kshem shelamatan ovyon ama kach lemat lemalon ovyon ama. If the krushim, as Rabbi Nechemi would have it, were a perfect rectangle, then haynu d'ksiv, we can understand the pasuk there in the Bnei'as HaMishkan that says, Uliyar Kisea Mishkan Yama Tasa Shisha Krushim. So we're talking now on the western side, and we need six boards, six Krushim. Ushnei Krushim Tasa L'Muktzot. And now make sure that you have two beams. In addition to the six beams, we need two beams on each one of the corners, and those are going to be the beams that connect the western to the two walls that come to meet that western wall, on the south and the north. So everything fits in perfectly. And why? The Asi Pusya Dahani Umemali Le Lesumcha Dahani. That these kind of end zone, you know, krushim that we're adding, that the Torah calls Shnei Krushim Tasel Miktzos, the purpose of those two krushim on the both sides is to fill in for that thickness of the two walls that are going to come and connect with the western wall, meaning the south and the north. Okay. Again, if you happen to have either Masifta or the Art Scroll, I mean, you'll find diagrams of this, and basically, what you'll see in the diagram is that inside the Mishkan, we're going to have 9 amos by 10 amos. So we have the six middle boards on the western wall. And since each keresh, each board was 1.5 width, you multiply 6 times 1.5 and you get 9. So we've got a western wall that's 9 amos, and now we need to add a half an amo on each one of the corners, the mikzos, by putting up a board there and a board there, and that would complete the rectangle with the two walls that have to connect with the western wall. Elo lamanti omer mila maton ovyon amo. But if you're like Rabbi Yehuda, that the shape of the keresh was triangular, the way we described it, so then high aisle, the high nothic. What in essence is going to happen is that you're not going to be able to fill up those gaps on the corners to complete the 10 amos that we need to, because on the top it's going to be only an etzba's worth, right? It's going to diminish as you go higher. So the Gemara answers, "Deshafi luhu kiturin." What they would do is they would turn the keresh in a shape that it would fit with the next keresh, right? So if you have two triangles, one reaches the spitz here, one reaches the spitz there. If you turn it the opposite direction, it'll become a perfect fit, if you follow what I mean. So the Gemara and the Havamina thought that the base of all the krushim, which was the widest side, was on the bottom. And that can't work adequately to Rabbi Yehuda, because there's no way that you can fill in all the gaps, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the corner krushim would not fit with the, you know, the six krushim that make up the western side. But now the Gemara answers, no. It wasn't that the base of each one of the krushim was on the bottom, but rather you'd have some on the bottom and some on top in order to fit it in, so that you'd have a perfect fit and there would be no spaces. Okay, now the Gemara goes on to discuss the krushim. Now this next piece of Gemara is almost an agadic Gemara. It's like a kind of like a borderline, an overlap. He says, "Habriach hatichon b'tocha krushim." Now let's understand what the word briach is and what its function was. You know, the krushim had to be held tightly one with the next one. If each keresh is on its own, loose. So for that we needed what's called brichim. And these brichim were kind of like poles or bars. There was one on the bottom of the krushim, one in the middle, one in the top. And then what they would do is they would bore holes in these... once again, I have a diagram of it. They would bore holes in the sides of the krushim, and they would put the bars that would connect the krushim together. Okay, here I have a little picture of it. So there's a briach elyon, there's a bar on the top, there's a briach tichon on the bottom. Now there's a major difference between the top, the bottom, and the middle one. The briach tichon, which is the middle rod, that was radically different than the other two. In the case of the other two, the one on the top and the bottom, they added like a ring on the top of the bottom, and they would put the rod through that ring. So that was on the outside of the krushim. Not so the briach hatichon. The briach hatichon was a rod that would penetrate through the middle of the krushim, going from one keresh to the other. So the Gemara points out that b'nes hayaomei, Tana, we learned in a brisa, there's a miracle going on here. Why? So Rashi explains that when they put this bar into the, you know, this rod into the briach hatichon, it had to actually circle around, right? There was one rod that actually went through the entire Mishkan. And the Mishkan is a rectangle. So how is it possible? There's not a single artisan in the world who could pull this feat off. Feet meaning F-E-A-T, right? You know, how can you get a pole that reaches the end and then turns the corner, and again turns the corner? It's physically impossible by law of physics. And the Gemara says in the name of the Braisa that Benes Haya Omed, in other words, to achieve this goal of the Briach HaTichon, you had to have a miracle that same rod could take you throughout the entire Mishkan, connecting all the Krashim in a circular way. Like if you were to take the Mishkan and turn it on its side, then you would have a U shape, if you follow what I mean. And it's amazing that this miracle took place in order to facilitate the connection of all the Krashim. Okay, now the Gemara wants to tell you that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia has implications. It has repercussions. And this has to do with the curtains that covered the Mishkan. And we could talk about two curtains. The bottom curtain is called the Mishkan, actually. And then from goat hairs and threads, they made a top covering on top of the Mishkan. So it says the following. The Torah says, V'yasa Mishkan tasa eser yirios. So the Mishkan, as we said before, is that curtain that covered, that simply was draped over the Mishkan. And it had to be made of 10 different panels. Orech hayiriyah achas, shmone v'esrim ba'ama. Okay, what does this mean? 28 ama. Okay. Now, I have a note here, and I'll read to you some parts of the note. First of all, we should know that this covering, which is called Mishkan, was made of linen, wool, blue wool, purple wool, scarlet wool, and it was woven in a very intricate pattern. It was draped over the krashim of the Mishkan. Hence, it's called the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan was serving a beautiful decorative function, because as I said before, it was made up of so many different colors and so many different fabrics. Okay. Now, as we said before, the Mishkan, this covering, consisted of 10 panels. Now, each one of these 10 panels was 4 amos by 28 amos. And now we sew them together in order to get one large curtain that'll cover the Mishkan. And he says here that it was sewn into two large sections of 5 panels each, right? So we said that there were total 10 panels. But these 10 panels were divided into two separate groups, each made up of 5 panels. And now we have, right, we have each panel was 4 amos by 28 amos. And, so now what you're going to do is you're going to multiply the 4 amos by 10. Just one second. No, I'm sorry. You're going to multiply the 4 amos by 5, right? Because again, the magic number here is 5 panels, and each panel is made up of 4 amos width. So we multiply 5 times 4, we get 20. So now we got 20 amos by 28 amos. Each one of these two large sections of 5 panels each. Now when we combine or hook together these two large sections, so we end up with, instead of 20 amos by 28 amos, we'll end up with 40 amos by 28 amos. Okay. Now, kama havon, havya, okay, each panel was esrim vitamne, okay, so each panel was 28 amos, but dal eser leigra. In other words, what we have now is the roof of the Mishkan. And the roof of the Mishkan is 10 amos. So basically what this Brisa is trying to calculate is how far down did the curtains go on the sides. So if you start with 28 amos, and then you have a floor of 10 amos, so when you put a covering over a roof, I said a floor, I meant a roof. If you have a covering over a roof of 10 amos, then how many amos will flow, so to speak, draped on each one of the two sides? And the answer is, if the roof is 10 amos, and the total size of the Mishkan, meaning the Rios, are 28 amos, so what you're left with, let me see if this works out. What are you left with? Is 18 amos. Now, 18 amos is the total size of these panels, but it's going to have to be draped on two sides. So if it's draped on two sides, then we have to take that number 18 and divide it in half. So it's going to drape 9 amos on one side and 9 amos on the other side. Pashaluhu teisha lahai gisa v'teisha lahai gisa. Okay. Now, here's where the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah comes to the fore. Li Rabbi Yehuda migle ama diadonim. Now let's keep in mind that the crushim were held in place on the bottom because they were inserted into sockets. It's kind of like a sheka, you know, when you plug an electric lamp into the socket. And here's where we're going to find an afkamina. Let's just first calculate it. He says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the entire keresh would be covered, whereas the sockets would be exposed. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, migli amah d'krushim, the bottom amah's worth of the krushim was also exposed, not just the adonim. And let's try to explain the mathematics as to why this is. Each one of the krushim was 10 amos tall. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what happens is the krushim are in a triangular shape. They taper off on the bottom. And therefore, he says, the remaining 9 amos of the curtain on each side covered the outer surface of the krushim, which is 9 amos. And all that's left that's not being covered is the adonim, which is 1 amah. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the walls, meaning the krushim, were an amah thick on the top and on the bottom. So basically what we're saying is, because Rabbi Yehuda on the top has the krushim coming to a spitz, so he's got that extra amah of airspace that allows the mishkan, meaning the curtain, to drape down a little bit further, because there's nothing, you know, picking it up. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you have a rectangle and it's an amma wide according to Rav Nechemya on top, then what's going to happen is that there's going to be one amma of the curtain that's lifted up when you drape it, right, over the keresh. And therefore, what's going to happen is you're only left with 8 amos of drape going down. So the last amma of the keresh was now going to be exposed. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's nothing that, you know, keeps up the curtain from draping down, because on top each keresh was open space, and therefore you get an extra amma of draping in the curtains, such that now you have a full covering of the 9 amos. Because again, we started with 28 amos, we subtracted 10 amos for the roof, and now we're left with curtains of 9 amos on each side. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can cover the entire 9 amos of the krashim with those curtains. Whereas according to Rabbi Nechemya, you can only cover 8 amos, and therefore there's going to be one amma of the keresh that's exposed, plus the amma of the adonim of the sockets. Is Rabbi Nechemya migli amma d'adonim? Now the Gemara goes back to the pasuk that says V'yasisu yirios izim li ohel, and we're talking about this is the covering on top of the Mishkan, the second covering, which is made of yirios of izim, right? So they took the hair of the goats and they spun threads and they made a covering on top of the Mishkan that would cover on top. Okay, and the pasuk goes on to tell you that there were 11 panels. You know, before we spoke about 10 panels, but as you're covering higher, so you need more. Orach hayiriyah achas shloshim bi'ama. Now, the length of the panel becomes 30 amos in the case of yiriyah se'izin. So the Gemara says the following. Shidei orchayu lefusya de mishkan. Right, if you place the length of these panels across the width of the mishkan, kamahavi. Okay, the Torah says that they are shloshim bi'ama, they're 30 amos. But dal eser li'igra. Once again, we have to subtract the 10 amos for the roof and figure out how much they draped over the side. Poshalu eser lahaygisa v'eser lahaygisa. So you're left with 10 amos on each side. L'Rabbi Yehuda michse amma d'adonim. You remember that the Mishkan itself had left the adonim exposed because there was only 9 tefachim's worth of drape. But now that we have the yiriyos sa'izim, which are, instead of 28 amos, they are 30 amos, we end up on each side of the draping with an extra amma. Now we can cover the adonim. But L'Rav Nechemya, migalya amma d'adonim. Even after we put on and drape the Mishkan with the second covering, which is the yirios ha'izim, we still are left with the adonim exposed. So the extra amma of spread is going to get you a covering over the last amma of the krashim, according to Rav Nechemya, but not the bottom amma of the adonim. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that really calculates the same thing. Va'amma mizeh ba'odef. There's an amma on this side, an amma on that side, in excess of the length of the panels, the tent spread shall drape over the sides of the tabernacle, the side to cover it. And what does it mean? L'chassos amma shall adonim. That when you cover, again, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you cover the Mishkan with the yirios ha'izim, you now have covered the adonim, because you had one amma that was exposed after the Mishkan, but now it's going to be covered by the izim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Lechasos Amma Shel Krashim. In other words, when the Torah says lechasos ama, and it uses the word adonim, the word adonim in this context really means the crushim. So that now that extra ama of Keresh that was heretofore exposed is now covered. And, you know, since you have that extra, the question is how to interpret, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the word Adonim in this pasuk. But just to be more precise, let's read the pasuk inside. Va'amamizeh ba'odev, bi'orech yirios ha'ohel, yesaruach al tzidei ha'mishka mizeh u'mizeh l'chasoso. So it doesn't tell you l'chasoso to cover what? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's covering the Adonim. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, it's covering the crushing. Now, shidi pusayu li'orche de mishkan, kamahavya. So now we're going to the orech of the Mishkan. Arboim v'arba, we have 44 amos. V'dal tlosin li'igra, so you can subtract 30 amos on the length side of the Mishkan for the ceiling of the Mishkan. Poshalu arba srei, so you're left with 14 amos extra. Dal tarti l'kafla, you have to subtract 2 amos of the area, which was hanging on the eastern side, the Ksiv, the Kafalta Seiria Shishis El Mulpne Ha'oel, is Pashalu Tarti. So you're left with 12 amos for the covering of the Krushim on the western side. And now the Gemara is going to try to analyze this in light of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. And the Gemara is going to say, Bishleim el Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Krushim were kolim v'holchim, right, until it was only an etzba on top, is therefore when they draped the Urias on the Mishkan, there were no Krushim there up on top to be mamayit, to diminish the length of the Urias. And they would fall and cover the entire length of the Keresh, which was 10 amos. And then they had a little bit left, Nosrumam shte amos sheu odfos al karshei mishkan v'nigru al aretz. So it's actually true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be 2 amos that would drag on the floor. And now haynu d'ksiv, we understand the pasuk that says chatzi ayiria odefes tisrach, and tisrach means chatzi ayiria, the yiria sa oel, which are yeseros on the Urias HaMishkan, will be odfos on the back, the achore krashe HaMishkan, the tigdar ala oretz. El Rab Nechemiah, he holds it up on top, the ovi, the thickness of the krashim was a full ama, and therefore the width of the krashim would now be mamayit from the Uriah 1 ama, as we said before, because of the draping, is now we're left with only 11 amos that would cover the Mishkan from the outside. 1 ama was negreris ala oretz. And therefore, what's my tisrach? What does the pasuk mean when it says the chatzi ayiria, which means shte amos, tisrach ala chori mishkan? According to Rav Nechemiah, the ayiria was only beyond the karshei mishkan, the odef was only 1 ama. And the Gemara answers is Tisrach mechavruseha, that chatzi ama was shte amos odfos al yiria tachtona, ama achas mechasas ama adonim v'ama hashnia nigreres al haaretz. So according to Rav Nechemiah, the pasuk is not telling us that half of the extra panel would drape on the ground, but only that it will drape beyond the first covering, meaning beyond the point of the first covering. And indeed, only a half of the extra panel, meaning 2 amos, were drapes beyond the first covering. But of the extra 2 amos, one of them covers the adonim that were left exposed on the Kosel Maravi, on the western side by the first covering. And the second extra amos would actually drape on the ground. Tanara debei Rabbi Yishmoel, Lema Mishkan Doma Leisha Shemaleches Bishuk Vishipuleha Mahalchim Achareha. Her train trails behind her. No, it's just like we said that the tent covering and the Mishkan over the tabernacle would trail, you know, because of that extra shape. That's similar to a woman who's wearing this garden. So we got up to Tanur Rabbanan, which is mamish at the end of Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis. Wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom.